to another podcast on disrupting thinking. This is the seventh in my series. Disrupting Thinking is by Kylene Beers and Bob Probst, and I've been facilitating some fantastic online discussions of this book. In this podcast, I'm reflecting on chapters 14 and 15, reading the same book and the power of talk. So when I came to chapter 14, I admit I was first a little guarded because it was about reading the same book. And I know that, yes, choice means choice in pretty much every way. But I had found over the past few years that through selecting a few novels that my students were able to read together, it was a great anchor for discussions and particularly exploration of literary elements in the classroom. I felt the negativity of forcing a student to read a book that they just weren't interested in, but it was hard when having a common text to experience really had a lot of value too. Now, I believe in giving students permission to break up with or abandon a book, but in the case of a class novel, that really can't be an option. So I was making excuses in my head as I read into this chapter, hoping that I wouldn't feel like I had to abandon these novels that I had spent the last few years collecting multiple copies of for my students to use. So, why ever say yes to a whole class reading? Well, I love that Beers and Probst point out that a sense of community is created through everyone reading the same book, and opportunities to learn from one another abound. What is different is the expectation. We shouldn't expect all students to read the same book the same way. Yes, I have worked to do this. For instance, I have my fourth graders read the novel A Wrinkle in Time, but one of the things that I model is how I read it through different lenses, or I can read it through different lenses. Like I've shown them how I can read the text through, say, a character lens or a word lens, or perhaps an event or a setting lens. And I share that sometimes I find signposts as well. I really stress to my students that I can't tell them how to think or what to think about this text as they read, but rather I encourage that they just think. And so to keep the thinking open-ended as we read this novel together, I encourage my students to pull out just two pieces of text or quotes in each chapter to share thinking about and to consider more deeply. Now, what I've found is that when I leave the reading so open like this, it actually stresses my fourth graders out. They seem to want to be told what to look for or find specifically. It takes a great deal of time to get them comfortable with just sharing what they're discovering. But when they finally do, the insights they have are amazing. This supports what Probst states in the Take Two video link. He says, there are social dimensions to reading the same book. And when you have one text entering different minds, the opportunity to see different readings emerge as a result of that, you can learn how important the individual is in the process of meaning making. I couldn't agree more. And I've seen it firsthand in my students. So I really felt refreshed and validated after reading this chapter. I really try to strive to give my students as much choice as possible in what they read. And I have them write response to reading letters to me each week on texts they choose, and then they pick from a large menu of response options. In the classroom, I have learning stations, but they choose what they'll read for the task. For example, I have a station called Metacognition, where I'm just encouraging the kids to share what thinking they have about the text. They choose the text, they choose how they think about it. The constant is that it's just a thinking station. Another example, I have a listening station. Again, they choose what text they want to listen to, and then I give them an opportunity to sketch a retelling or a recount of the text they choose, or they could look at the plot elements. I'm really trying to give them as much choice as they can. But again, there are times when I need my students to read the same text and for them to be able to learn for each other. And that's where a common piece comes into play. It really is for that sense of community. And the difference, again, in the expectation is that I give them options for how to think about the text or what to think about the text. It's that difference that means everything. Now, moving on to chapter 15, The Power of Talk, I felt empowered. Because over the past few years, I've really experimented and explored the ways to help my students, as we say, delve into discourse. Letting my students have conversations about text has become the most defining practice in my classroom. It first started with talk about text groups because I knew my readers' needs were not fluency, but comprehension. Instead of holding a traditional small reading group, my students met with me to discuss what they had already read. Over time, these have evolved, and I have added weekly book club discussions on Fridays for the whole group novels we read. My third graders read 2 novels during the year, and my fourth graders read 3. Then I use these weekly discussions as opportunities for my students to learn very important communication skills. That is, how to actually have a discussion where no one is in control and turns are taken. These are important skills that I feel are life skills. Now, the comparison between the monologic and the dialogic questions in the text was something I do feel I've been mindful of, but I appreciated that they were clearly differentiated. When working with my gifted students, I've tried to give them what I call open-ended questions. That is, questions where there is no right or wrong answer, only opportunities to think. I look at it this way. Questions which are monologic are what I teach my students as on the surface type questions. That is, the answers are pretty easy to find directly in the text, and it doesn't take a great deal of brain power to find or figure out the answers. In fact, I teach my students that these on the surface questions live in those lower levels of Bloom's taxonomy. And while they do have some value, our goal is to really dive below the surface and explore those higher thinking levels and really challenge our minds. These questions then are the dialogic ones. Now, shifting a focus to these type of questions is not a stretch for me, so I'm starting to think about how I can support colleagues in this. I have discovered that letting my students talk about text truly helps refine their understanding. In the Take 2 video at the end of the chapter, Kylene states, "When we give kids a chance to talk about a text in a meaningful way, they almost always explore questions we need them to explore." I am going to take that a step further. I find my students not only explore the questions I need them to tackle, but they exceed my expectations. They think of things I had not considered, and they extend the thinking well beyond what I could have ever anticipated. That truly is the power of talk. I recently did a presentation at a local conference for teachers on reimagining how students talk about text. The reflection process as I prepared this session was so powerful for me. I feel that when teachers think about bringing more discussion into the classroom, they really are uncomfortable. I mean, after all, letting students have discussions means shifting control to the students. And I get it. It can be scary. And it still is for me. It's unpredictable. It's unscripted. It means giving kids a high level of trust. It also means planning in ways that we were never prepared for as pre-service teachers, and most likely we haven't had opportunities to learn much more about this type of a structure because very little about it exists. It means we have to model and practice how to actually have conversations. So I hope anyone who may be listening starts to think about just one way they could let their students engage and talk about text somehow. Discussions about text offer students the opportunity to take an active role in their learning because they are doing. Understanding is truly improved through talk. But don't just try it one time. Be persistent. Be reflective. be open-minded, and above all, be ready to be surprised and delighted.